We are continuing in our series, The Light of Christmas. Have you noticed a few lights that aren't up at any other time of the year? Oh, beautiful job that our folks did here in decorating and putting the lights up for us as we are highlighting this concept of the light of Christmas. I did manage to get the lights up at the parsonage as well. Someone told me they didn't think they were behind in that process because the pastor didn't have his lights up yet, but did manage after our kids' Christmas party yesterday to at least get some of the outside decorations up. Have really appreciate the lights that we put up at Christmas time. I really appreciate as well Pastor Joel's message last week from Genesis 1 entitled Light into Darkness. God, in the very beginning, brought light into the world to illuminate his creation and bring life to everything. Someone asked me just this morning that concept, that idea again, well, God created light, and then it wasn't until a few days later that he created the sun and the moon and the stars. How is that? The literal Hebrew, I'll just tell you, doesn't say, let there be light. It says, let light be. He didn't create light. He let his light shine through. Because he is light, and he let his light shine through to his creation. See, I believe that source of light was his divine presence. Because of man's rebellion, though, darkness would move across the earth once more in a sinister way that threatened to separate mankind from their creator forever. But God had no intention of letting that happen. In fact, in the second verse of Isaiah 9, we read, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of the shadow of death. A light has dawned. Isaiah's prophecy about the light of God, again, coming into the darkness. And in verse 6, the familiar words, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The concept of light is very rich in meaning. Its splendors used throughout the scriptures as a symbol of all that's good and healthy in our physical, emotional, and spiritual existence. Mind, body, and spirit, when it's healthy, when it's good, when all is right with the world, light is used in Scripture to define it. Meanwhile, the eternal God, because of his holiness and his perfection, is pictured in 1 Timothy 6, verse 16, not only as dwelling in inapproachable light, but also in 1 John 1, 5, as being light, in whom there's no darkness at all. Imagine that a minute. Light so bright you can't even approach. Light you couldn't even look at. You couldn't behold with your physical eyes. That bright, beautiful, wonderful, radiant, glorious light. I'm calling today's lesson, Light to the Nations. For your convenience, the text of Isaiah 49, 6 through 7 is going to be on the screen. But we encourage you to follow along in your own Bibles if you can, or on page 1138 of the Pew Bibles. Here in this text, Jehovah God says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel that I have kept. I'll also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. This is what the Lord says. The Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. In context, God is speaking through his prophet Isaiah to Israel. He speaks of his plan to use
Isaiah first to illuminate Israel, to illuminate his people, and to bring them light, so that then they can be used to bring light to the rest of the world. Many Orthodox Jews don't see this text refer to the Messiah at all, and we may have difficulty with that. But they instead, they see it only speaking of their future glory, of them being, yes, light to the world, but just them, Israel, God's chosen people from that time. Many Christians, on the other hand, they see the Messiah clearly in the passage, but they don't see Israel in the plan. Guess what? They both have it wrong. They both have it wrong. Neither group has it completely right. The prophecy is to Israel. It is about Israel, but it's about so much more than just Israel. Matter of fact, the very first phrase we read there in Isaiah 49, verse 6, says, to limit it to them would be too small a thing. That's what God said. That would be too small of a thing. There would be no big deal for God just to do that. He had a much bigger plan than that. A much more grandiose plan than that. To bring light not just to a people, but to all peoples of the world. Think on that. Isaiah predicting that light would come out from them, not just to them. And the New Testament, well, that helps clarify it for us. By inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians 3, verse 8, the Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. Notice, all nations will be blessed through you. The promise was spoken to Abraham and to seed. And the Scriptures not say, and to seed, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person. And he clearly says, who is Christ? The Messiah. The Messiah. Light to not just the Jews, but to all the world. To every nation. To every people. But who is the Christ? There was a time when the Apostle Paul, who wrote this, didn't have a clue. That he, like his brethren, understood that yes, there would be light to the world, but thought that he and the rest of his fellow men would be that light to the world. But when Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and you can read about it in Acts chapter 9, and Acts chapter 22, and even Acts chapter 26. When Jesus appeared to him, he saw a bright light. Imagine that. Imagine that. And he was told, I'm sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Acts 26, 17 and 18. And if you know the rest of the story, you know that once Paul had his eyes open, once he saw the light, he wanted everyone else to see the light as well. He understood that his mission to the world was to take the light, not just to his people, but to all nations, all people. Let's take a look now at Luke chapter 2. In this section, we find a young Jewish couple taking their 8-day-old son to the temple in Jerusalem to be dedicated. And while there, they have a rather strange encounter. As Mary and Joseph, that's the couple, fulfill the requirements of God's law, we read, beginning in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. And who was there? When the parents, Mary and Joseph, brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. So the Holy Spirit tells us that the light that was to come to the world, the light to the nations, was the Messiah. And the Messiah was Christ Jesus. Case closed. We know who the light was that God promised. Yes, he would illuminate, bring revelation to his people, but for a purpose. The purpose of something big, wonderful, beautiful, beyond even their wildest imagination. To bless the nations with light. So what's that mean to us? You and me, today. What's the revelation that Simeon received and that God wants for us to receive? What is it? Well, if you happen to be a Jew, it means that God still has a plan for you. To bless you and to prosper you. To give you hope and a future. Praise God for that. Amen. And you know what? So many Jews are holding on to that. They want that so desperately. They desire that. Yet the plan is that it will be fulfilled when they accept Jesus as the promised Messiah. And then that they will serve as his vessel to share that light with the world. If you're a Jew, you're descended from his chosen people. And he wants you to see his salvation as clearly as Simeon did. He wants you to see Jesus. Then he wants you to show him to the rest of mankind. That's if you're a Jew. What if you're a Gentile? Whether you happen to be Asian, African, Czechoslovakian, Chinese, Dutch, East Indian, English, Egyptian, Filipino, French, German, Hispanic, Italian, Native American, Norwegian, Portuguese, Puerto Rican, Russian, Scottish, Swedish, Turkish, or Ukrainian, or any of the other 120 ethnic groups that are recognized in the world today, guess what? Jesus Christ is a revelation of God's love and mercy for you too. Hallelujah. He wants you to see Jesus. He wants you to see Jesus. He wants you then to show him to the rest of mankind. He wants the light to be shed into your heart, into your soul, that you might benefit from the light he sent for you. In fact, the Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul to also write in Galatians 3. Galatians is a wonderful book to read, but Galatians 3 is a powerful chapter. We've looked there twice already. It says in verse 26, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." This is good news. The Messiah was sent not just for Israel. The light wasn't just for Israel. The Messiah is for all of us. The Christ is for all of us. The light is for all of us. God wants us to see clearly Jesus and that he is the way back to the Father. Where light that would be inapproachable, actually envelops us. And we become light too. Praise be to God for that. Because isn't it true that we all long for light to lead us out of confusion? Isn't it true that we all ache to feel the warmth of the light and the love of acceptance? Isn't it true that we all have eyes that peer through the darkness, straining to see some ray of hope, some ray of light? The concept of a light to the nations may be simple. Isaiah was like, if you will, the flashlight He was like the flashlight in the hands of God. He would speak the word of God, and it would be the source of power that will illuminate Israel. And Jesus would be the light that would shine to the nations. He would be. And I want to tell you today that God wants for us to be flashlights in his hands. He wants for us too to be people who will be instruments for him to fill with his word, and then for us to let that word be a source of power. The light would shine in us and through us, and to all who would care to be drawn to it. That's his plan for us. For Jesus is a light to the nations. He's the light that would shine to the world. And God has made it clear, very, very clear, that he wants for us all to see him. We sang earlier, I lift up my eyes. I lift up my eyes. But we sang another line, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes today and see the light. See the light. And then encourage others to lift up their eyes too, to see the light. Lyrics to a Hank Williams song come to mind. Of late here at Calvary, we've sung the David Crowder version. I think most of you, at least, could sing the chorus along with me. And if you would, just sing louder than me so it'll sound good. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. I am so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. David Crowder would be saying, no, Steve, not quite like that. And Hank Williams would roll over his grave. No. The truth is that when we see the light of Christmas, we find more than temporary illumination, more than pretty little lights on display for a season. We find light that bathes our soul, chases away the dark gloom and despair. We find light in our heart, not only to expose the wounds and the scars are there, but to anoint them in the healing glow of the love and the grace of God. Yes, and when we see the light, and we see the light, then we realize that no matter how dark things seem around us, no matter how dark our circumstances, no matter how difficult or gloomy they may be, we are filled with light and hope. And yes, that should make us rejoice. That should move us to be happy. No sorrow in sight, because the light, the light chases away that grief, that sorrow, that gloom, even the fear of the grave, erased, eradicated by the light. Praise the Lord. I've seen the light. Have you? Have you seen the light? If you have, then let someone else see that light too. Ask God to fill you with his light and his love, to turn you on, to power you up, and to be a beacon of light and hope in the world. It needs it so desperately. If it didn't, God would have never sent his one and only Son to suffer what he suffered, that he might be a light to all the world. For you see, Jesus is the light of Christmas. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the light of the world. I thank you, God, for the light of Christmas. I thank you for the reminder that we have in this season that you sent him to inhabit flesh, to live among us in a way that just boggles our minds, that we can't wrap our minds around. But God, we believe by faith and we accept by faith. Thank you, God, for recognizing
our darkness and our need for light. And before even the foundation of the world, you had that plan. A big plan. A wonderful plan. A marvelous plan. And God, I just pray right now that if there's anyone here who was maybe just beginning to catch a glimpse of that glow, that God, they would be drawn. And you might use us, God, to shed even more light on their situation, their circumstance, but more importantly, on their salvation that you have made possible for them. And God, we just praise you. We praise you, Lord, for we've seen the light. In Jesus' name, amen.